Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary at Praise Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. We are so glad and so happy that you all decided to join us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. I'm so excited that we have a great teacher on tonight, and I know that we're going to get a great lesson. We would like to welcome all of our listeners from London, from the Bahamas, from Germany, and even if you're local in Georgia, we welcome you to our Tuesday night Bible study, and we ask that you get a pen and paper and your Bible to follow along in the Word so that you can not only listen to this Bible study, but go back later and study the Word also. Tonight, before I present our speaker on tonight, I just want to give a short prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for life, health, and strength on today. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your greatness and your goodness, God. We thank you for who you are. We lift up the speaker on today, God, that you would refresh him, renew him, strengthen him right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word that he's going to teach on tonight with authority, God. We pray, God, that you would just bless him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I see the blood of Jesus right now over his mind that he is going to teach a lesson. And then, God, we won't just be hearers of the word, but we would also be doers of the word. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And I present to you our teacher on tonight, Elder Richard Taylor. Thank you, sir.
All right, all right. What an introduction that you said. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the prayer. And as we get ready to go forth, great, great, great introduction. I tell you, that you said, if I ever do a commercial or infomercial, I'm going to call you so you could be the voiceover. On you do that so well.
Thank you.
You got the right kind of voice for it, I tell you. But hello, everyone. I guess I could say I'm back. I kind of feel like I've been out of pocket for a while. Kind of have some issues going on with me physically. But I think that I'm back and trying to get in lockstep with the Lord. And I have a word that, you know, as Evangelist Stanton was praying, the Lord told me something based off the title of the lesson tonight. And he said, see, you had a plan to preach this on one day, but I changed your plan. And the way that he changed it was that I ended up in the hospital for about 3 days. So, and that just came to me as Evangelist Stanton was praying. So, you know, I'm gonna try not to be long-winded tonight, but I just want to share something with you, and it's a very, very familiar scripture for those that that we read our Bible study and know the story of. And I just want to use the scripture as a foundation of what the Lord is telling. I was tossed and turned about a title, and sometimes I don't even use a title for a Bible study, you know, but, and I got like three titles written down on the piece of paper, and I said, Lord, which one should I use? Which one is going to provoke thought in the people? And he said, use something, use the simple one. And I said, okay. And the title of the lesson tonight will be When God Changes Your Plan. Just as simple as that. Because, you know, we get stuff in our own mind, and we have our own plan, and we want to do our own thing. And a lot of times there could be something good, but is it necessarily the right plan to do? And a lot of times we want to go and do different things and go different places, and God said, no. I have a different plan. I have a different route. I have a different destination for you to go. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. And we want to go over to the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter. And if I could ask a question to the people that are listening, and I'm grateful to everybody that's listening all over the world, everybody that's tuned in tonight, that's listening to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. I appreciate you for listening in tonight and all the other services that everybody tune into on a weekly basis with Bishop Omar Zaki, our pastor. How can you know that Paul, he was friends with Luke? And how can you know that Luke is the author of the book of Acts? I can't hear you, but I just think about that. You know, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And a lot of people didn't know that. You know, even some people that's supposed to be, I guess, Bible scholars didn't even know that. This is something as simple as that. Luke was friends with who became Paul, and he wrote the book of Acts. So he's very intimate in his writing when it comes to the things that he wrote about Saul, who later became Paul, because they were friends. So he understood what was going on, and that's why I bring that up. Just a little fun fact there that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. All right, the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 6. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through all the scriptures that I have, and then we're going to go back and go over them, okay? Line up on line, precept upon precept. All right, starting at verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Verse 7. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with him saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And see, that's how God is do. I know I said I'm going to read through these, but I just want to add something here in this verse here. See, when God speaks to you, when he has intentions specifically for you and only you, okay, you could be in a room of 200 people and won't nobody else hear him but you. When God has a specific destination, a specific word for you to hear, everybody else can be around, but only you will be able to hear him. All right? Moving right along, we are in verse 10. Says, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. So Paul and his couple of friends that was with him which led him into the city of Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, verse 13, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. Verse 14, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 15, for thou shalt be his witness. This is Ananias explaining to Paul what's going on. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was coming to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And that this is a powerful effect that the Lord had on Saul, who became Paul. Verse 18. Saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And in my Bible, that's written in red. So that's the Spirit of the Lord telling him what to do. Get out of here. So, verse 19, and I said, Lord, they knew that I was in prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. This is Paul talking back to the Lord and letting him know that he was in the presence Stephen was martyred for the glory of God, and that he condoned it. He helped commission it. Verse 21, and he said unto me, Depart, for I am thee far hence unto the Gentiles. All right, you stop right there. Okay, so now the title of the teaching tonight is God Change Your Plan. And so what we have here is that Saul was heading to Damascus to do it. He was on his way to persecute, rain havoc on some Israelites, some Jews that had been converted over to Christianity. So him and a few of his friends, they were on their way to bring destruction over these people and to rain havoc upon them. So on the way, something dramatic happened to him. And so they begin on this journey, they begin to walk. And see, at verse 6 is where we started, where Paul is telling, he's speaking to the Sanhedrin. He's like giving his testimony of what happened to him on his way there. So he began to tell them through verse 6 down to verse 21 that we read, and we're going to go over these again, that he said, you know, what was happening to him. And he was giving his testimony to the Sanhedrin, which is a tribal a court that really consists to be in every Israel city. Amen? So just a little note there. So Paul had to experience something dramatic in order for him to change. Because Paul was the type of person that was very, I could say, maybe arrogant, maybe he's very knowledgeable. He had dual citizenship. He was very smart. And so he did a lot of things. And wherever the tribunal would send him to go to bring abuse to the people of God, to the Jews that was converting over to Christianity, he would imprison them, he would have them killed, he would do all kinds of things to them. And this is very familiar. But our topic is about when God changes your plan. And so Paul had a plan on his own to go over into Damascus, where he normally does. But God said, hold up, wait a minute, I have a different plan for you. So, verse 6, it says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there was shown from heaven a great light round about me. And so now we see something dramatic had to happen to get Paul's attention. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you're going a certain direction, and it may not be the right direction, and it may not be that you're going to do something wrong, but it could be that God needs to get your attention. The Lord needs to get your attention. He needs to get you on the right path. Not that the path that you was on was so wrong, but it might be the path that just wasn't for you. And so God had to do something dramatic to Paul. Have we ever been in a situation where God had to do something dramatic to get our attention, to get us focused, to get us back on track, to get us to going in a place that he wants us to go, or to even get us to do a work that he wants us to do, like he wanted to do with Paul? Evangelist Sandy, would you like to add anything as we move forward?
No, that's good. I mean, just like you said, being on that journey and then God getting your attention. And that, you know, probably was the furthest thing from his mind. And a lot of times it's like that with us. It could be the furthest thing from our mind, but God had been setting it up all along while we're just going out on our journeys. But God said, you know, now is the time to get their attention, you know. So, no, this is good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, in verse 7, it says, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now he goes from seeing a great light showing up on him, which is very dramatic, so dramatic that it blinds him. His friends see it, and then now he hears a voice speaking through this light, surrounding him, asking him a question. Saul, Saul, why do thou persecute thee? So he's asking him a question, you know, and we could find ourselves kind of in this situation at times as we go through life and through our walk with the Lord. You know, we can get off kilter, get off center, and it don't necessarily always have to be something simple like Paul here, but you can just get off center, get off track, and the Lord can ask you the same type of question. Richard, why are thou doing this? You're like, huh? What? You know, who? Lord, this you? Like Paul said. He said, Lord, let's go to verse 8. And I answered, who art thou? Paul said, I answered, who art thou, Lord? Because Paul knew about God. He just was totally against God. And the people that went from Judaism over to Christianity. He wanted to purely because Paul was like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the tribal tribal of the Sanhedrin. You know, they were all about God. They weren't about Jesus. They was about God. You know, very religious people. And if you didn't follow the law, then that's where Paul came in to persecute you. Amen? So moving right along, and he said, verse 8, and I answered, who art thou? And he said, Lord, with a question mark, say unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. So now now Paul knows who's talking. Because before, the few verses before, he didn't know. He just saw this bright light. He heard a voice. And the Lord made it very clear that he understood who was dealing with him. He made it very clear that Paul understood, or Saul, at this point, Saul understood that I am the Lord God. I am Jesus of Nazareth, who is about to deal with you. And there could be many times where we could get out, we could be so, off focus, not focused, distracted from the things of God that he has to snatch us up. As my mother used to say when I was a kid, I'd snatch you up to get our attention to get us back on track. You know, and that's a little different to how he's dealing with Saul here, but it's an example of how God, sometimes the extreme measures that he would go through, that he would go to get your attention. All right? So right now, we're going to take a little break. We're going to have Evangelist Doug come and do our offertorial appeal.
Money is spent, a little bit of bag of food, and your baby need a pair of shoes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I tell you what you ought to do. Jesus can work it out if you let him. Diane Williams.
We are so glad that you joined us for our Tuesday night Bible study. Elder Taylor giving such a great word about God changing your plans coming out of Acts chapter 22, and he began at verse 6. But we would like to take the opportunity right now for you to be able to be a blessing and to give. We are not asking that you give a certain number. We're just asking that you don't give grudgingly or under compulsion, but give with a cheerful heart. There are several ways that you can give. One way you can give is by Cash App. The Cash App is PTC877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or if you would like to give by credit, debit, or PayPal, our church office telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that is 678-760-6056. If you would like to be a blessing to the ministry, we're going to turn it back over to Elder Taylor with our word on tonight. Thank you, Elder.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stanton. Appreciate all that you do for Praise Tabernacle. All right. So now I believe we get right into verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid. Saul is saying the people that were with him, they saw the light and they were afraid. It's how dramatic the Lord had affected these men. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. In verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed. Now that Paul understands, because, you know, we got to remember who Saul was. Saul was contrary to everything that represented Jesus. He was contrary to everything that whenever any Jew wanted to convert over to Christianity, and Paul knew about it, and the Sanhedrin sent Paul on mission to persecute these people and to punish these people and to imprison them and to kill them and all these terrible things that him and his friends were doing to the people of God that was converting from Judaism over into Christianity. So now, just the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is humbled this man, unbelievably humbled him. He's not fighting against it. He's not arguing with the Lord. He is saying, what should I do? What would you have me to do? Because now he is experiencing a situation with the Lord unlike he's never had before. And he is humbled by the presence of Jesus Christ because how dramatic the Lord appeared unto him in the light and in the voice that only he, and then he acknowledged who he was. So now Paul is just humble. Now we're just saying verse 10, he said, and Paul said, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. Saul ain't even thinking about what his mission was at first, right? He had a plan. But what happens when, see how God changed his plan and how God changed the thing? Jesus changed what Paul was going or Saul was going to do in Damascus. Now he's still going to Damascus, but the Lord changed what he was going there for now.
Right.
And how Paul was who he was and what he was all about, his reputation preceded him. all in Rome, all in Israel, all over the place. His reputation preceded him. You know, so just the presence of God talking to him, being in the midst of him, just humbled this man that was so contrary and detrimental to the people of God. So he had a plan. But now we know what it means when God changes your plan. You been saying, would you like to add anything?
Yes, I would. It makes me question, and maybe I don't know if anybody else is thinking about this, what is God using right now to get my attention? What is God using right now to get my attention? I mean, because like you said, this was very dramatic, and sometimes we may, God is trying to get our attention, and we may shrug it off as, we shrug it off, that can't be anything, you know, or we try to reason in our minds, surely God is not talking to me.
Good.
Our listening is, what is God using right now to get your attention, and will your response be, what shall I do, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What shall I do? Because, you know, if you know that God is trying to get your attention right now, what is your response going to be to that?
That's good.
So right. Thank you, Elvis. This is good. It's making me think, what is God using right now to get my attention?
You know, if I could just use myself as an example, what happened with me a few weeks ago, you know, something like that never happened to me where I had a seizure in the middle of the night. And my wife said it looked like I was dying. That's never happened to me before in my life. And it could be that God was getting my attention. I need you to get focused. I need you to get refocused. I need you to get focused back on me more. You might have a plan to do something, but I got a different plan for you. It will behoove us to know and to hear the voice of God when he speaks to us and know what he's saying to us, because it will be a benefit for us to understand, to hear him in the spirit. So that and be humble like Saul was. He was as humble as apple pie. I mean he didn't fight. You know, this man was destroying the people of God. So let's go on to verse 11. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Now, this is Paul's friend leading him into Damascus because he couldn't see at this point, because he was blinded by the light. And he came, and one Ananias, which is a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there in Damascus. So this Ananias, Paul ended up seeing Ananias. Ananias was a devout man at this time, in this period, and he went to Ananias to receive his instruction. And sometimes we got to have somebody that we can go to that's tangible, that we can see, feel, and touch to help get us on the right path through the Spirit of God. You know, like a pastor, like an evangelist or an elder, or somebody that has an experience with the Lord. Because, see, Paul has never had an experience with the Lord up until this point like he did. But this is all new to him. All he know about is the religious aspect of God. and how the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the Pharisees operated in their religious beliefs. But God, but Jesus came that he destroyed all that religious stuff. And see the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't want that to go away. So this is why they were sending Paul out to do the things that he was doing to the people that was being converted from Judaism to over into Christianity. All right? So, where we at? Verse 12. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Verse 13. Came unto Paul, and saw, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight, and the same hour I looked upon him. Now, according to this word, it didn't seem like Ananias was surprised, right? It didn't seem like he was shocked at what was going on, because when he saw Saul, he called him Brother Saul. He didn't run. He didn't hide, because remember I said that Saul's reputation preceded him. When Saul came into town, people was hiding. People were trying to get out the way, because they knew what he came to town to do, him and his crony friends, what they was coming to town to do. They was coming to steal, kill, and destroy, imprison. They was coming to rain havoc on people. But Ananias didn't seem distraught. He didn't seem scared. He didn't seem, unaware of what was going on. So could he have already known what the kind of experience that he had on the road coming into Damascus? Could the Lord had already shown him too? Because he was not fearful of what was going on or who Saul was. And he was able to call him Brother Saul. And then not only that, he knew that Saul was blind, and he laid hands on him and he said, receive thy sight. So he understood who he was. By Yokeman. He knows that he's a fellow brother in the gospel. How did he know that? How did he know that? Already. Because it doesn't say that he was fearful. It doesn't say that he ran from him. It didn't say that Saul had to talk him into doing anything. Verse 13 again. And he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. Verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, and thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So now he's beginning to give Saul instruction on what God is telling, what the Lord needs him to do. He said, the just one has spoken, and you will hear it come out of his mouth. Amen. Verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Again, this Ananias continues to give him instruction on what to do and how to follow. Because remember earlier, Saul said, what shall I do, Lord God? And the Lord said, well, when you get into the masses, you will get instructions. So this is what's going on now. He's getting instructions on what to do. Verse 16. And now he's telling you. And now, why tarriest here? Thou arise and be baptized. What you waiting on? Now you got to get baptized. And to wash away the sins and sins calling on the name of the Lord. So now he's continuing to give him instructions. What must I do to be saved? So now Ananias is telling him, now you got to get baptized and you got to call on the name of the Lord. basically so that he can empower you so that you can be a witness as to who he is. Do you understand? You'd like to add anything at this point?
Yeah, it reminds me kind of like in my business, we have a couple of questions, my side business, not my main business. We have a couple of questions. We always ask people, are you coachable? Are you teachable? And this is reminding me of that. It's like he had to take, like you said, the instruction. Now, it was up to him to actually do it. I mean, because, mm-hmm. you know, we can tell you to pray. We can tell you to mm-hmm. read the word. We can tell you that it's crucial to have praise and worship. But if you don't do it, then it's of no effect. You have to, and this is not, we just don't say this as a saying. You don't. Not only are you a hearer of the word, but you have to be a doer of the word.
Mm-hmm.
You have
mm-hmm.
to put in action those things that you are hearing. And that's what this reminds me of. It's like, okay, now he has a choice. Is he coachable? Is he teachable?
Mm-hmm.
Is he to do the word? So we have to be that same way. You know, you may keep hearing it. It's a reason people are telling you to pray. It's a reason people are telling you to read the word of God, because it is going to change your life. And real quick, Elder, if I could tell a real quick story that kind of reminds me of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comedian. There's a comedian. Oh, my God. Dark-skinned comedian, short. His name just escaped my mind.
David Hart?
Yes. Well, before he became well known, he was struggling, and his mom had came over to his apartment to see him a couple times, and he would complain to his mom, saying, "Mom, I'm having a hard time. I can't hardly pay my rent. I can't hardly buy food." So his mother told him, "Read your Bible." And she would leave, and then he would be like, "Oh, read my Bible." Of course she would say that. So a couple of weeks went by. She came back by to see him, to see how he was doing. He said, "Mom, I'm struggling. I can't pay my rent. I can't get any food. I'm having trouble putting gas in my car." She said, "Read your Bible." So she left. So a couple of weeks went by again, and he was getting ready to be evicted, and things were just really tough for him. And so this time he was sitting at home, and he said, "Mom said to read my Bible, so maybe I'm just going to open it up just to see what she's talking about." Well, when he opened up his Bible, his mother had been leaving him money inside the Bible to help pay his bill.
Wow.
See, you don't know what's in that word until you open up your Bible. You don't know what God has left you to take care of those bills until you open up that Bible. You don't know what God has left you inside that word that's going to cause healing until you open up that Bible. Read your word, because what you're seeking for is right there in that Bible. So much, Elder.
That'll preach right there. That's great. That is awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that story about Kevin Hart before, but that's encouraging. Read your Bible. You know, you never know what you will find in it. Amen. It'll be something good, though, whatever it is, because ain't nothing wrong in this Bible. Amen. Where are we at? We at verse 17. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in the train." He still messed up. The presence of God just got him all tore up. He's still in the train. while he's praying in the temple. That's how the presence of God is due. When you get in tune with God. And you can go in a place, you can go to a place of God that nobody can go unless you go in the presence of God. So he was still in the trance. Here, verse 18. And saw him saying unto me. See, now this is what Paul said while he was in the trance praying in the temple. And he said, and saw him saying unto me. This is the Lord that he saw when he was getting ready to, what I'm getting ready to read, saying this unto him. Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. He said, now you received all your instructions, you've been baptized, you've called on my name, you're in my presence, but these people here in Damascus, they're not going to hear your testimony concerning me. They're not going to hear it. And see, earlier in the first 5 verses of this chapter, he was talking to the Sanhedrin, giving his testimony. And if we read further in this chapter, they wouldn't hear it. They started not to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. And that's why Jesus spoke to him while he was still in the temple praying in the trance, saying, get out of here. Get out of here, because they're not gonna hear your testimony concerning me. So it's important that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us at all times. At all times. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning, it could be 3 o'clock in the morning, it could be 6 o'clock in the morning, it could be 12 noon, it could be while you're in your job, it could be while you're in your car at the grocery store, cooking in the kitchen, whatever it is, taking a bath, taking a shower, whatever it is, when God wants to deal with you, he don't care where you are and what's going on with you, but he wants to deal with you, he'll deal with you. And change your plan. Whatever plan you got, or plans, plural, he's going to change. Because he has something different for you, something better for you. He has a different work for you, for me, and work. But we have to have an ear to hear what he's saying. We have to be obedient to it and humbly accept it. That's Saul was, who became Paul. Paul didn't put up a fight. He was humbled instantly. This man that abused the people of God by death, by imprisonment, by beating, crucifixion, all these things that he was doing to God's people. And that's why he asked, why do thou persecute thee? Because when you hurt my people, you hurt me. And Paul didn't care. Up until that point, he didn't care. That's why God had to be dramatic in how he dealt with Paul, because he knew what kind of person he was. And sometimes that's how he deal with us. That's how he deal with me. Because, you know, we can be hard-headed. You know. And we might hear from God, but like, my way might be a little better. We have the audacity or the nerve to think that we know better than God. But he know better. He's going to always know better. Always. 100% of the time, he's going to know better than you and me. He's going to know better than everyone that's listening tonight. He's going to know better than me. Every time, he wins. Every time, he wins. And verse 19, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And this is Paul. He responded to the Lord and said, they know, everybody know that I am prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. How they gonna hear from me? How they gonna hear from me? They know my reputation precedes me. How am I going to get them to hear me? How? Because of when God changes your plan, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong if you be obedient to what the Lord is telling you or instructing you to do. You can't go wrong. We win every time. We just got to be able to see it in the spiritual and get out of our emotions. Because our emotions get us in trouble. We got to be able to see it in the spirit realm and get out of our, because our emotions is fleshly. And that's what can mess us up when we try to come up with a plan or work a plan or whatever the case may be. And God is trying to get us to do something different. You know, and because of free will, we can still continue to try to go that way, but it may not be easy, and the Lord may whoop your butt up with it. Master, would you like to add anything before we get ready to close?
No, you go ahead. This is good. I'm just enjoying this lesson.
Oh, right. And verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, and this is Saul talking to God, letting him know, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, kept the raiment of them that slew him. Now Paul, he's telling God, he's telling the Lord, these people, I watched Stephen get stoned. I consented to that. The people know I consented to that. How are they going to hear your plan for me now when they know what I've done? So with that scripture being said, I have a couple questions to ask. Do you know you've been changed? Can we ask ourselves, have I been changed? Does the enemy know you've been changed? How do you know you have been changed? These all could have been questions Paul could have been asking the Lord that we can ask to this day. We become a new creature when the Lord changes us with that personal experience with him. What you have done in life that is contrary to God, he can use you for his glory. No matter what you've done, his plan for you is still, you're still applicable to him because of his love. His love covers all sins. You can still be used by God. No matter what you've done, where you've gone, all we got to do is just ask for forgiveness and repent. Humble ourselves. Seek the face of God that he can heal us, renew us, revive us, restore us, so that we can be used for his glory. He will sanctify you. He will fill you. He will revive you. He will renew you. He will deliver you. He will heal you. Submit ourselves and have experience with God that we can walk in his plan and not in our own plan. The Lord had the blind saw so that he could see things different when he regained his sight. I don't know if that if the Lord would be that dramatic with us in this day and time, but he could. Sometimes down to get our attention, to get us to understand what his plan is for us. You know, our emotional experiences can turn into, should turn into spiritual experiences with the Lord. There has to be a spiritual encounter with the presence of God for us to be delivered. Just like Paul. Lord knew he couldn't deliver Paul in Paul's emotions. He had to have a spiritual encounter with him, where there's no doubt about who he is. Sometimes God has to get us in a position that we can only hear from him and not nobody else. So, but that's it, other words. I hope that we're going to end it right there at verse 20. Now, let's end it with verse 21. And he said unto me, this is Paul saying, that the Lord said unto him, depart, for I will send thee far unto the Gentiles. We end it right there. Paul, now it's Paul, God said, we're going to send you far into the Gentiles. You're going to be that Gentile apostle, because the Jews, the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, and the Sadducees would not hear your testimony concerning me, because they knew who you were, and they're not going to believe that you could change and that you can testify of my glory. So we're going to send you to the Gentile nation that you can bring them unto me. So Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. Us, you, me. Non-Hebrew. Non-Israelites, those that weren't part of the Hebrew nation, the Israelites, the Gentiles. That's where Paul, and if you read the story of Paul, those that don't know a lot about it, he went through, him and Silas and some of his friends that worked with him, they went through a lot of things in their journey, preaching out of prison, house arrest, those kinds of things. You know, on the run from the people that he worked with, used to work for, chasing him around as he continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile nation. And then just a little fun fact before as we close is that Paul, because of who he was and his dual citizenship as a Roman citizen as well, the Israelites, he was beheaded instead of crucified, because it was more honorable to be beheaded back in those days. So that would hurt more to me, but I guess it's instant, so it was really painless. But that was the thing for Roman citizens. When they were executed, you know, it was considered a patch of honor to be beheaded instead of crucified. That's why they crucified Jesus, because it was more demeaning. It was a spectacle. Everybody could see you die slowly and things like that. But that's why Paul was beheaded, because they gave him honor in, you know, during his execution. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everybody got something out of it tonight. It's just, when God changes your plan, just remember that we all think we got a plan. We all think that, you know, we got something, those that love the Lord, and something brewing, and something that we want to do for God, or even do for ourselves, you know. But God, just make sure that it's in the will of God. That God is, you know, a part of the plan, and that it will be done, you know, so that we don't get messed up, you know, because like I said, Paul, Saul, before he became Paul, he didn't know what was going to happen on that road. He was on the mission to do damage in Damascus because he sat there and he heard that there were some Jews that was being converted over to Christianity. And he was going to punish them because they were under the law. They were being delivered of the law. Jesus came to deliver us from the law. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he was going to do what he's doing. But God said, I'm going to change your plan.
Yeah.
So just remember, everyone that's listening all over the world, just remember, keep God. Make sure that he is a part of your plan. Amen. That's it. That's it. Jezebel, would you like to add anything?
Yes, sir. I mean, just an awesome, encouraging lesson on tonight. And what I mean by encouraging, no matter what you've done, there is an opportunity to change your life. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done yesterday, 10 minutes ago, last night, there is an opportunity to change your life, just like Saul changed his life, turned it around with instruction and following the instruction. So I'm excited about that on tonight. And I have a quick announcement, Elder, before we close out. Thursday night, December 31st, which is New Year's Eve, we usually have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. But Thursday night, we will be having service at Praise Tabernacle Church at 877 North Clayton Street. We only have room for about 30 to 35 people. We will be following COVID protocol. Your families will be divided. You'll be able to sit with your family. We will keep 6 feet apart. We ask that you do wear a mask if you do come to the service. The service will be at, I think the doors are going to open up at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday, December 31st, and I believe service will start about 10:45 p.m. Once again, that will be on this Thursday, December 31st. The doors will open at 10:30 p.m. We only have room for about 30, 35 people. Temperature will be taken at the door if you do come out to the service. If you cannot come out to the service, we'll be televised on Blog Talk Radio and Praise Tabernacle Church Facebook page. Once again, if you would like to listen to the service, you can listen in by Blog Talk Radio or Praise Tabernacle Church Facebook page. If you have any questions, you can definitely give the church office a call at 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. Elder, and on tonight, did you want to close us out or do you want me to close us out?
You go ahead. Since you already got the mic, you go ahead and close us out.
We are just so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you joining us on tonight. We pray that you would not just be a hearer of the word, but you would also be a doer of the word. We pray that you will pray, read, and study your Bible, and have praise and worship. Do something different. Listen to the voice of God to see what he's instructing you to do. And as we always say before we leave each other, we out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen and good night.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless y'all.